We're hearing the experiences of a congregation of Catholic nuns who have been on the Texas border assisting asylum seekers at a respite center in McAllen. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. More than 103,000 migrants crossed the southwestern border in March without authorization. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, is currently housing more than 50,000 migrants. It's the highest number on record. And at this rate, more than a million people will have tried to cross the border within a year. Have you recently visited the southern border? What did you observe? What did you take away from the strained immigration system? We're at 800-642-1234. Sister Claire Lawler and Sister Julie Krall are from the Congregation of Sisters of St. Agnes in Fond du Lac, and they were recently at the southern border with Mexico to volunteer at a humanitarian center for immigrants. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you both visited the Texas border at the end of January. You're headed back in a couple weeks, and you went there for 2 weeks. Julie, let's start with you. Can you tell us what kind of volunteer work you were doing?
That everyone always wants to know, what did you do? What did you do? When we went for the orientation, the first thing that they told us was, make sure you take care of yourself. We don't have time. So if you need to leave, leave. If you need to eat, go eat. So that said, the second thing they said to do was, if you see something that needs to be done and you think you can do it, don't ask. Do it. So representative of the, the sister called it the holy chaos, okay, that was going on. So what did we do? A lot of stuff, and it was called pay attention, get there. We sorted clothes. We fixed food. We distributed water. We, enjoyed and talked with, to the best of our ability, the refugees coming in. But I think the key piece, that really struck us. We were part of the welcoming committee. The general procedure was when the buses drive up, you drop what you're doing, you go out, and you welcome the people getting off the bus. And they had this little standard thing that they did. As soon as the immigrants walked into the building, everyone clapped. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about what did you do, we worked really hard, but we also welcomed a lot.
Sister Claire, how many immigrants were you seeing each day?
At the time we were there, probably about 500. Currently, I think that is now 1,000 per day. And at the respite mm-hmm. center. And so the buses would bring them in. They would start in the early afternoon, and then they would bring them in all afternoon. Now I think it's going round the clock pretty much. And so we would go out there and welcome them, and many of you could see the story sort of written on their face. Many of them would get down on their knees and start praying. People would be crying out of relief of being there, and we just learned how to welcome them. We gave them hugs. We said, welcome to the United States of America, bienvenidos. It was an amazing scene to see them finally come from this very long traveling that they had done to get to the border and finally being in the United States. So I wish we could film them.
At the respite center, they're getting the food and the clothing
right.
and some support. But how long are they there? And then what happens?
Well, they're usually there for about 24 hours, sometimes up to 48. They get a new set of clothes. They get some food. They get some sleep. And then they are connected with their sponsors, who are all over the United States. They get an envelope with papers and a sign on the front that says, I don't speak English. Can you help me get to this bus or something like that? And then they are off to all over the United States via Greyhound or another bus line.
Julie, did you have any sense of which countries they are coming from, where you're seeing the most mm-hmm. asylum seekers?
Surprisingly, everyone thinks Mexico. No, there were some people from there, but the majority were coming from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala. We saw a couple of people from Nicaragua. Most of the time, believe it or not, there is enough distinguishing characteristics that we could tell where they were coming from. and lots and lots and lots. So, yes, lots of countries.
You say that they go on a bus and they are sponsors all over the country. Who are these sponsors?
Interesting that you should ask, because that was an area that, first of all, we didn't interface with sponsors, but they could not, because they were asylum seekers who were legal. They had come in. They had to have sponsors. These were, I would say, families, people that could take them in and help them find jobs, help them, you know, acclimate to being in America, and a probably primary piece, get them to their court sessions so that they could begin the citizen process. I do think there may have been some organizations that were considered sponsors, but individuals, families.
We're talking with Claire Lawler and Julie Krall. They're from the Congregation of Sisters of St. Agnes in Fond du Lac, and they recently visited the Texas border to provide humanitarian aid for immigrants. They'll be going back in a couple weeks. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. Did you or a family member enter this country as an asylum seeker? What did your family hope to find by coming to this country? What was this process like? What questions do you have about volunteers and their role in the country? Immigration process. Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Sister Carol, can you tell me what you could take away from these immigrant stories and what they were fleeing from? Did you have any sense of their trauma?
They were fleeing from violence, and they were most worried about their children and the violence that was going on in their own countries. And so they were seeking asylum in order to get away from that as an everyday experience. They were very careful and protective of their children. And the children looked fairly physically okay. It was the parents that I think probably gave food on the way to the children rather than to themselves. So there was a difference in how parents looked versus children looked. All were, you know, looking forward to a new life in a different country that didn't experience that kind of violence.
Julie, were there any characteristics to you that stood out to you about these families coming over?
They really did look emaciated and tired when they arrived. I think one of our favorite realizations, remember, you're supposed to do whatever you can do when you see something that needs to be done. We were standing outside noticing that there were probably 30, 40 children in what they had set up as a play area with toys. Okay. There were no adults. Nobody was supervising. So, you know, the old principal in me is like, I can supervise these kids. I'm watching them. Unlike some of my experience, they didn't need supervision. They were so well behaved. They so took care of each other. Oh. They shared the toys. You'd see a child playing with one for a while. Another little kid would look longingly, and he would give him the toy. So, you know, we credit the parents for raising such good children. They just, if you ask them to do something, they were aware, and they were sweet, okay? Mm. And that was, for me, like I said, as a former principal, it's like, oh my gosh, they're doing great out here.
We're talking about the experiences at the border in McAllen, Texas, as a congregation of nuns from Fond du Lac spent time helping asylum seekers at a humanitarian respite center. Claire Lawler and Julie Krall are from the Congregation of Sisters of St. Agnes. You can join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. A congregation of nuns from Fond du Lac has returned from the southern border after helping asylum seekers at a Catholic Charities humanitarian center in McAllen. We're hearing about it on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The White House spent Congress a $4.5 billion emergency spending request this week, citing an unfolding humanitarian and security crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border as record numbers of Central American families and children seek entrance to the U.S. We're hearing about one respite center run by Catholic Charities where hundreds of migrants, mostly from Central America, are dropped off each day. And the nuns blogged about their time at the border, including this detail. Each family carries a bag of clothing, snacks, a small pillow, and a small blanket. Each child receives a toy or stuffed animal to which they cling to as they depart. Sisters Claire Lawler and Julie Krall are from the Congregation of Sisters of St. Agnes, and they spent 2 weeks at this center, and they're headed back in a couple weeks. Let's go to the phones now with Lucy joining us from Madison. Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead, Lucy. Yeah.
I wanted to tell you I went down to El Paso last October for a Spanish immersion class, and I was unfortunately only able to stay a couple of weeks, so I didn't get around to, and I got sick also, didn't get around to going to Annunciation House there. But I had the experience of going across the border because our class does, they do that with the class. We went across one time to go eat in a restaurant and see the market and the stores and stuff and just experience speaking in Spanish. And when we came back, there were six of us in the class that went along with our teacher. And when we came back, the Border Patrol was mean to us, really. There was this young man that... he was very young. He looked old enough to be a high school kid to me, and I'm 70, and I'm old enough to be his grandmother, and he was extremely rude to me, and he talks like I shouldn't be going down there and stuff like that, and it just, I just felt as though somehow they're training the Border Patrol people to be, not to be polite and to give people a hard time for going over the border.
Lucy, thank you for the call. And it sounds like, you know, that is their first engagement in the U.S. as asylum seekers is that Border Patrol, Julie.
You know, we didn't see a lot of violence, but we were not at the border watching them try to cross. The people that we saw had been, you know, they'd made it through the asylum seeking process, and it was actually the Border Patrol that bused them to us. And so we saw, we were grateful. They let us know ahead of time that a bus was coming. And, they were Border Patrol, but we did not see that. Now, did we hear stories? Yes. You could tell they came in. Imagine, they had no shoelaces. Those were taken from them. They had no belts. Again, left at the border. They were given ankle bracelets. Not given. They were placed on their ankles. These were huge things, uncomfortable. And, well, if you're wearing an ankle bracelet like that, you can imagine the feelings that they had because it immediately put them into, what are you, a criminal? Are you a drug person? What are you? That was tough. But we heard stories, but we did not see it where we were.
Let's go back to the phones with Kurt joining us from Wind Point. Hi, Kurt.
Good morning. And thank you for having this topic on.
Sure. What's on your mind?
My wife and I have hosted foreign exchange students over the years. We are interested in hosting a family coming across the border. I loved hearing about the families and individuals getting placed on Greyhound buses and being relocated to families who are sponsoring them. How can we become one of those families?
Kurt, thanks for the call. Would either of you like to field that?
Yay, Julie? Please. They are needed. Okay. Think about it. Your experience already tells us you could probably do this. You need to contact the U.S. Immigration and something or other, NCIS, okay? Mm-hmm. If you check with them, you would be able to go through the sponsoring system and figure out what do you have to do. Can you do it? Our usual response is don't think too hard about it. You can, okay? It will not be easy, but you can do this.
You also visited a migrating butterfly sanctuary, and it had a real effect on you. Can you tell us about that?
Yes.
Sister Claire, you were there as well.
Yes, I was. Wonderful place, truly a cultural marker. Full of butterflies and such. And it is right on the border. And as we were there, they were building more border fence. And you could hear in the background, you could hear the machinery that was taking down the hills and flattening it out, making kind of berms on which they were going to put the fence. And so you could see the process happening right in front of you. And there are several places that are historic that are in jeopardy of not being able to maintain themselves because they're being split in half by the border fence, which is, you know.
It really was striking to stand mm-hmm. in that beautiful sanctuary that's mm-hmm. full of trees. down there, they call it a thorn forest, which matches the kind of trees they have. But to stand there and hear the bulldozers and know that that farmland is being leveled, their watershed area is being, you know, touched. And so it was tough to see it. It will go if the board goes up. It is a sanctuary for migrating butterflies and birds.
Well, let's turn our attention to Catholic Charities Humanitarian Respite Center. Certainly, nuns are playing a large role in keeping the effort going. Are there lots of other volunteers who come from all over?
Yes, there are. In fact, there are volunteers that come for 6 months at a time. Some of them are retired doctors and retired educators, people who are very happy to be able to do probably what they've wanted to do all of their lives. So that it mainly runs on volunteers, and some of them are there year-round and some 6 months, and others, you know, several weeks like we have been.
We enjoyed seeing the youth that would come. It was learning service projects for several colleges and high schools. And so you saw a lot of people that came once for a couple of hours, and we did not see them again. So they need volunteers. Anyone that can come and participate, there's something for you to do. And you don't need to speak the language. You just need to be there.
I would assume with the influx of asylum seekers being dropped off at the respite center, therefore you would need more volunteers to help.
We talked to one of our friends that we worked with who is still down there. They said, if you could come, it would be amazing. We're getting tired. We're overwhelmed. We're working too many hours. We need volunteers that can come in and take over and not panic in how awful it is right now, how confusing and how hard.
Sister Claire, what did you learn that people here in Wisconsin maybe don't realize or understand that they could take with them today, now?
As I looked at all of the immigrants coming in, all I could think of most of the time was, this is the future of the United States of America. And these people are worth our ability to donate to them, to work with them, to bring them in as new citizens of the United States, since they're coming here as that. The children, I have to say, the children were amazing. And I'm a former educator and a psychologist, and I just looked at those people, and all I could do was cry, because they are so, they will make such wonderful citizens in this country that we need to be very open to that process and to look at them as a great gift.
Sister Julie, we only have a minute left, but I want you to reflect on what you will be thinking as you go back, and maybe your mindset as you go back, and what you would hope to accomplish as you help the effort.
You know, advocacy, I think, is big. When we get back here, we need to be contacting senators, representatives. We need to be actively figuring out how can we support them, how can we help people give donations, how can we encourage people to get actively involved. It's like, go ahead. If you've got a space, go. It is fascinating. There is more down there than just helping the people. It is going down and visiting the border. It is a cultural center that we're not familiar with. That would be just amazing. So I'm coming back thinking about what can we do from here. We can't let it sit.
Thank you both so much. Oh, Sister Claire, one last thought.
Yes, and if you're going to send down some wonderful clothing or anything like that to the center, you can get that address off of the Rio Grande Catholic Charities Center. Just remember, these people are really tiny, so everything needs to be really small.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Claire Lawler, Julie Krall, they are from the Congregation of Sisters of St. Agnes in Fond du Lac, and they recently visited McAllen, Texas, to provide humanitarian aid for migrants who are crossing the border, and they will be going back very soon. Coming up, the federal government is urging private companies to build immigrant detention centers, but when one company tried opening two facilities in northwest Wisconsin, it faced fierce opposition. We'll talk with an investigative reporter about that. It's after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.